Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, everybody. I kind of like that music. Gets us moving and grooving, and I don't know, yeah. And somebody asked, "Where's that music from?" I said, "It's from me." It's like we can do everything. I got Rhonda E here. Good morning, Rhonda E.
Good morning.
And this is Chef Stuardo, if you haven't figured that out already, and thank you very much for calling. I just wanted to thank the people last night. It was the first time that really we had a couple of different people in the chat window. Nobody was really saying very much, but I can see that you're there. So thank you for tuning in. It gives me a kind of a real-time count of who's listening, and that was feeling pretty great. So thank you very much for that. Makes a huge difference when we have some people in the room with us. Anyway,
exactly.
Now today, you know, right? We're seasoned professionals. We can talk to ourselves, and we'll still sound like we're talking to a whole bunch of people. But it's really nice that there's actually people listening, and the number of people that are listening seems to be growing a little bit, and we both appreciate that very much. So, Rhonda E, tell me a little bit about how you started your day today.
Oh, well, I had a really, like, long night. It was like I had a really hard time going to sleep. I sat up and was creative. I wrote. I sat up and I wrote a song, and I did that. And then I tried to go to sleep. And just, yeah, it was a toss and turn night. But it's a gorgeous morning. And I started my morning out by letting my dogs out and, you know, letting them enjoy the morning outside. And then, you know, jumped into the shower and then started to think about, how could I, what could I do to show the love for the Easter time? What kind of ideas could I come up with? I did want to share what happened yesterday, though, if I could for a second. I was coming in from outside as I was reading, and the little food bank thing that I have out there, there was a person standing in front of it, and they were kind of going through it, and they looked kind of like a little confused, and I didn't want to draw attention to myself, but I also wanted to make it known that if you need, take what you need. So I did, and I haven't checked it this morning. I'll go out and take a look, but they were helping themselves or whatever, and I just felt really thankful that it was there, that somebody, you know, was able to walk by and replenish themselves, get something to drink, eat, whatever. And like I said, I didn't want to draw attention to myself, but I at least wanted to say, and that person looked at me and said, oh, I just didn't know if there was I didn't know how this worked. And I said, if you have a need and you need all that, you take it. You take what you need and we'll refill it, whatever it's yours. So I just was really happy about that. You know, so now this morning I've been plugging away in my brain. What can I do? How can I put my hand out? How can I come up with ideas or maybe give ideas for people to be able to share the love on such a beautiful weekend, such as, you know, Easter weekend. So that's kind of what I started my morning out with.
Good. Well, that's a good way to do it. In note to that, so the answer to a question that Rhonda just said, what can we do? Well, there's a lot of things we can do, but let me start by saying this. This is so important. You know, it's beautiful outside. The birds are chirping. It's just like under regular circumstances, the day before Easter, we would be thinking about, wow, how great it's going to be. You know, we'll see our families, and hopefully tomorrow we'll have a nice dinner. We'll go to church. We'll do the normal things. We'll do, maybe the kids will hunt for Easter eggs, and we'll have all their friends come over. And that's just a normal mindset for all of us. And I think it's incredible. And we'll talk about some, Rhonda and I will talk about some alternative ways that you can, you know, do a family thing as far as Easter. But I wanted to say this. I was reading, I always read, you know, overnight and before we start the show about what I'm coming up with as far as, like, announcements and things that are going on in our area. And today there was a really big post, and I thought maybe it was funny at first. You know, maybe it was just sort of a joke because there was a misspelling in it. And what it said is, man, I am so glad that this Prague is going away. So the first correction in the comments was something about – you mean plague, don't you? And he goes, oh, yeah, that's better. Thanks for correcting me. And then there, literally within less than an hour or two from the original post, I'm not following it, I'm just giving you the history, there were over 45 comments. And every single comment said this really clear. Hey, man, I'll just read one for you. I'm so glad this plague is going away. Thanks for correcting my spelling. The next person said, can you be clearer about that? Well, it's beautiful out and things seem good because they're breaking down the temporary hospitals and I guess we don't need them and things are getting better. And then finally, all the rest of the comments, and I'll summarize, we're just talking about the hard facts, which are not good, and I'm not going to go through it right now. I just want to tell people, don't be misled by this absolutely dumb comment that somebody made, because people are going to see that, and they're going to go, oh, yeah, great. It's not going away anytime soon. Our safety is really of the most importance, and we have to keep doing what we're doing. It's so important. Don't take any of this good weather as anything other than a gift from God that says, here, we're going to make it sunny. You can take a breath, put your head out the door, hear the birds, maybe let the kids play a little bit in the yard. That's the gift. It's not a gift or a pass to say that everything's getting better. So don't be complacent. That's all I'm trying to say right now. It's really, really important. Okay, how to make my point, because it's not the only little post I've seen like that. Now, before I get Rhonda to tell me to, you know, stop talking and listen to her wonderful stuff, because I get intense sometimes. I wanted to just give you a report that I went into the markets early this morning to do a little bit of gathering of a few necessities. And I was happy to see that more and more people were literally, this is the first time I've been back to the market for a while since they've instituted, even if you're in your cart, it's like driving through a toll booth. You need to stay your distance. And people were observing that and were patient, because some seniors basically, you know, move a little slower, but we all maintained about 2 to 3 carts lengths worth of distance. People wearing masks. People were, you know, most people weren't smiling that much because you couldn't tell through the mask anyway, but the ones that weren't wearing masks sort of had a fearful look on their face. But, you know, at least people are adhering to the rules. The people outside, they were, all the employees were hand-washing all the carts as they were being used. Sadly, none of them were wearing masks. I was surprised about that. But, you know, people are participating and taking concern on everything that's going on. Okay, heaviness is over now. I turn it over to Rhonda E.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been out. I was out, you know, the other day, but, yeah, pretty much the same thing, you know. I mean, obviously people are just, you know, still need to be aware to follow the guidelines, you know, stay within the guidelines and just, you know, once again, as we've said it a gazillion times, I don't know how many times you can say the same thing over and over again, but we seem to be a people that are repetitive and need to be told more than once. Just, you know, keeping your distance, loving people the way you want to be loved, and do your best to do what we're being asked to, which is to end this ordeal. And the more that we do what we're asked to do, then hopefully the decline will see go away, and we'll see good results by good behavior. You know, that would be my thought about all of that. There's one thing that I know that is reality, is we can't control how other people choose to treat it. That can be very irritating, frustrating. Can also provoke one to anger, can provoke people to words, or maybe other things too. So you have the ability to control your world and to be able to show the love and kindness that you want to see for yourself. But also at the same time, don't allow what other people are doing, if you see that happening, to have you react and respond in a way that is not productive either. So because we just do not have control on certain things within our communities. We can only do the best we can and hope that people will follow suit.
I agree with you 100%. Thank you for bringing that up again. And, we, you know, we're trying to use our show as a format to, you know, not jump into the heavies, but it can't be helped. It's like Rhonda's saying, it doesn't matter how many times we have to say this. It's just so important, you guys and girls and kids out there. It's just really important. All right. I have an idea, you know, that we talked about a little bit, and I think Rhonda could probably give us some, Rhonda, you can give us a little bit more feedback on this. She has a lot more experience with the Easter celebration. We talked a little bit about food the other broadcast, and I was thinking about something funny. All right, so say you're at home, and you're isolated with your direct family. You have a couple of children, and, you know, you want to make something fun for them. So you do the old Easter egg hunt, which is really, really great. And you can do stuff in your yard as long as, you know, it's safe. And you can do stuff in the house. And it's something to think about today. You know, I think it's really important for any parents that are listening to try to maintain a really good celebration of this day traditionally. You know, candy, the jelly beans, the eggs filled with stuff. And hopefully you have some of that stuff that you thought about purchasing. If not, and you don't really feel good about making a trip to the store, because I imagine that the stores are going to be a little bit busier today than normal. So if it's a safety issue, you may still have some of those plastic eggs and things like that. You could always take little socks and stuff them with coins or things like that, hide them around the house. I thought of myself, like, okay, so I'm like by myself, you know, for the most part in the house. Although we're going to have a little bit of a gathering tomorrow with my significant other, but if I was by myself and I was going to do an Easter egg hunt, I would just hide things, you know, just do a bunch of eggs and hide them in different places and give myself a little bit of time. And someone said, yeah, but you know where everything is. I said, no, not at my age. I have about an hour's worth of memory at this point, and if I have an Easter egg hunt by myself at my age, I'll probably forget where they are anyway and have a good time. Anyway, I was trying to make that into a joke. It didn't go too good. Ryan, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I saw some really great I saw some really great idea. One idea I saw was somebody said, okay, ladies, I understand cleanliness. I understand keeping the home front clean. But at the same time, we have windows, and, you know, Christmas, we put lights out, whatever it is, to cheer, you know, the celebration of Christmas, and we make it festive. Another idea would be that maybe we could possibly participate in coloring the windows with some type of color with eggs. Maybe it's something that says, we're okay, hope you are, happy Easter, you know, something that the kids can design. Maybe it's, you know, a cross, you know, for Resurrection Day, Easter, whatever you choose to do, but something that brings hope in the middle of your street in your neighborhood that signifies that everything's okay, and you're putting colors on your. So that's one thing you could be doing as far as for your family and with your family, you know, participating and making brightness within your community, within your street, within your neighborhood, giving the kids some activity to do. You know, so just a painting on the window, that's a thought I have, you know, with some,
that's a really
some
good
wonderful
idea.
Thing. You know, it will
well,
wash off, ladies, don't worry.
And people were, I was thinking about that too, because if you're lucky enough that you have a window facing the street where people can walk by, I thought about that yesterday in a sense, what can I say? I have a few windows that face a street where a lot of people use as a walking street. And I thought, what can I put up on, you know, maybe I can paint some things on the window or hang some signs that might give people a lift. And I think that's a really good idea. It's, again, it's like the porch concept that we talked about a couple of shows back where, you know, if you're in a neighborhood and you know some of your neighbors, you can always announce that at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a gathering. And maybe there'll be different people on their different porches. I mean, we've seen this in Europe a lot over the last few weeks. Maybe there'll be a sing-along. You know, you can have a little block sing-along or something like that, and people that want to participate and come up with some simple songs like maybe Yellow Submarine or things that everybody knows, and have the kids outside doing that. You know, of course, separated by as much room as possible. There's different things that we can do like that. That would be really fun. Anyway, I guess the point is, Rhonda E., that keep this tradition alive. You know, make a big deal about it, just like you would if things were normal. And that's a good time to maybe set up your FaceTime or, you know, your phone calls with relatives, and maybe have about a 15-minute time where you're all gathered around the screens and maybe have some snacks and stuff prepared all over the place, and everybody can eat a little bit and talk and chat as if you were sitting at the table. I know in some cases, it really, you know, people have a couple of computers in the living room and things like that. Every screen could be used, you know, in a different way that you can gather a group of people together. And, you know, I think it's important to try to do that. And even if you get together to pray together or, you know, just for this holiday, the people are observing this special day, it would be a really good idea. So, you know, make it fun. Make it fun.
Well, the other thing is, too, another thought that comes to my mind, and now this is me speaking to the businesses within the community, all of those who are struggling, and we're putting our hands out and we're saying, let's support our businesses, let's support our local business. This is to the community and to the local businesses that I'm talking to. So this is Easter weekend. A lot of us are going to be in our homes, and a lot of us have meals, and what those meals look like is really depends on what we've purchased or what we bought. Some people have bought a lot. Some people are just doing the every 2 days go out shopping. I'm speaking to the community of the homeless people that basically do not have. My challenge to you, which is my challenge too, but I'm challenging you and the business and with the community to be thinking about ways maybe possibly between now and today and tomorrow that we could help our homeless people that don't have what we may be experiencing on Sunday morning or the afternoon by being able to get a gift certificate with one of our local businesses to purchase a meal or more than one meal, whatever you so desire to do. And then on the business part of it, to also challenge you on the fact of making money for sure, but also being able to donate maybe a few meals to people you may know in your neighborhood, in your block, that basically may not have the money to purchase a meal and they may be hungry. Can we extend ourselves further than just the fact that all of us are facing, you know, an economic change and hardships and situations to extend our hand in the community by challenging each other to partner with one another, to remember those that are less fortunate than we are. I know that there's a lot of that out there with churches and other people too, and probably people we don't even know of. But I'm just challenging, if you want to make a difference in our community, I'm not saying put a meal out anywhere. I'm saying if we can get a gift certificate, even McDonald's, you know, they have a $6, I think it's like $6 or $7 for an egg McMuffin and a hash brown and an orange juice. You don't have to get the meal, but you could definitely purchase the certificate and they could give it. You know, and we can all make that known somehow in some way to our community of people that are less fortunate. And by extending the love of what this whole Easter and you know, loving and caring for people is all about. So it goes above and beyond just our Easter egg on a window. It goes to the reality of what we can do more to extend the love to others that may not be feeling that kind of love on such a beautiful day.
Yeah, it sounds like a good plan. Well, listen, you know, the thing about it is there, I want to give a kind of an acknowledgement to some of the local businesses who are providing some meals for different people and hopefully sending some food to the home, some of the homeless, you know, shelters and stuff. Listen, it's really scary when you're living on the street in normal situations, but at this point in time, it's frightening to understand that where are people going to go to be safe. And so, Rhonda, that's a really, really good thought, and it would be really, really helpful. And like I was saying, acknowledging some of the businesses that are already doing some of that. Again, as Foodomania people that we are and what the show always has done, and I, you know, for many years I've been doing what's called cooking on the radio. When I first started the show's Kitchen Cuisine, which was a KSVR, a local college radio show, which actually ended up being broadcast to many different people. It was always kind of funny that people would say, how can you cook on the radio? Well, I set it up that way. So therefore, I post a recipe list a couple of days in advance, and people could join me in that situation of cooking on the radio by doing the ingredients. But I actually, for the most part, we cooked on the radio. We made some of the dishes. You heard the sounds and just the things like that. And I was thinking about this morning, and I thought, Wow, Rhonda E., why don't we institute sort of a certain kind of day for certain kinds of foods? You already know about Taco Tuesdays and things. I was thinking about doing like a pasta day sometime this week and use one of our shows. We'll make that show an hour show, and we will do a whole cooking session with our public guests. We'll actually do that. We'll get people together, and we'll give them the ingredients, and then in real time, we'll actually cook it. And that's where I might introduce the video aspect of the show, which is all set up now and ready to go. I haven't shaved or, you know, got my nice clothes out yet, so I haven't wanted to turn it on. No, I'm kidding. But I will be introducing video right after the weekend. It'll probably be Monday or Tuesday, where the show not only will be listened to, you'll actually be able to see it as well. So, Rhonda, think about that too. Think about something you might want to cook during one of the shows, and we can create an afternoon or, I mean, an evening or a morning show just to that, just so we can give some people something to do. And you're a professional cook, so I'm counting on you.
Well, I'm not a professional cook.
You work as a cook.
I know, but I wanted to say, though, I saw something really cool the other day, and maybe you guys had tried this or whatever. So you take spaghetti noodles, the long spaghetti, like, not the angel hair one, but the other one. And you take a hot dog and you cut it in half and you take about 5 or 6 noodles, or maybe even more than that, 7 or 8. And you take and you put the noodles right between the hot dog and you put the hot dog and you kind of, you know, keep the noodles together and you put them in a crock pot and cook them. And I was like, what? When I saw it, I was like, that's really weird. So anyway, when you get
done
in the crock pot.
Wait a minute, you wrap the noodles around the hot dog? Is that what you're talking about?
No, no, no. You take the noodles straight down and you poke the hot dog, half of a hot dog through the noodles. And so it looks like a napkin holder, like the hot dog's holding the noodles.
And then you put it in
a crock pot of water. And when it's done, it comes out and the hot dog is holding the noodles.
I just laughed when I saw it. I'm sorry.
I've never tried it.
Well, don't.
But it looks very interesting.
I think you can use your time a little better than that. Okay, take it from me. But you know, here's the thing. It's interesting how in different cultures, you know, the hot dog. Okay, full of nitrates. You know, if you want to have a hot dog, of course, have an all beef hot dog. That's the best. Don't go through those ballpark. Blow up in your hands eating 200,000 calories of 200,000 grams of nitrates. But, you know, you're right. In certain cultures, I've noticed, and especially in Asian cultures and specifically in the Philippines, because I work with some of the greatest Filipina cooks for years, and I've learned so much from them. And one of the things I learned is kind of what you're talking about. So it wasn't like stuffing the noodles inside a hot dog as a napkin holder, but it was hot dogs and sliced up and sauteed a certain way and then tossed in pasta. And it's definitely delicious when you bite into it. Supposedly it's great. They also taught me about fried bologna sandwiches, which if you like bologna, you've never had one. They take it and they slice the bologna in strips, kind of like fettuccine noodles, right? And then they saute the strips of bologna, you know, in a hot pan with a little bit of oil, salt, and pepper, whatever. They put a lot of, like, crushed chili pepper on it, get it really spicy. And then put it on a hamburger bun with nice crisp lettuce and tomato and mayonnaise. And I mean, the things you can do with hot dog and bologna, isn't it incredible?
Go ahead. I'm not neither one of fan or hot dogs or bologna, but I do remember growing up as a kid. So, you know, I mean, life has changed, obviously, in how it was. But I remember just being so ecstatically excited when Mom and Dad would take us on a trip. And we knew we were going on a trip. It could be up in the mountains, whatever. And the excitement was this. We're going to have what? That white, beautiful, soft bread with mayonnaise and bologna in the middle of it? It was like, I mean, we thought we were on cloud 9. Woohoo! You know, we're living up the dream.
I still kind of feel the same way.
So it's amazing how a bologna sandwich could make you
feel
so
rich. I was a vegetarian for so many years, almost 27 or 28 years altogether in a row. If you add all the periods of time together, and one of the things I really craved like crazy was bologna. I don't know why, and fried bologna. I like to take it under – put it on white bread, of course, with mayonnaise, and then stick it under the broiler for a couple of minutes, and it kind of curls up. Anyway, enough baloney talk. A couple of things I wanted to mention for entertainment. Now, number one, you should get outside today because it's beautiful. Get outside and do your little stretch. Take a safe, protected walk, maybe up and down the block or something like that. Spend a little time in your yard, which I definitely plan to do today. But later on in the day, there's something that's really a cool website that I found, and this is what it's called. It's called canyouactually.com. So it's C-A-N-Y-O-U and the word actually.com. It has incredible things like can you actually, meaning can you actually, you know, jump 10 feet in the air? Can you actually hear, you know, see, did you know that elephants have classes and they learn in the herds of elephants? Anyway, my favorite thing was NASA, because, you know, I've talked about the space station, how excited I've been to be able to observe that, unless now it's not observed right now. But I have another thing you can observe, and I'll talk about that at another time on the show. But what they've done is they've recorded actual sounds from space. And this came up because now that I'm so into the space station, I'm getting bulletins to realize that there was a flight that happened this morning. Three new astronauts, two from Russia, one from the United States, are heading up to the space station and replacing some of the people that are up there, the ones that flew over my house. So thanks for flying over the house. But there's a whole new crew that's heading up there. And so if you get onto the NASA channel, you can see those launches and the docking, which is kind of fun. But on the canyouactually.com site, they've released some sounds of space, real sounds. Like, what does it sound like up there? Does it have sound? I mean, we know that it must have some kind of sound. They've actually recorded it. And it's, I guess the word they put on this website is chilling. And so if you need a little entertainment, you're getting sad or sick of Netflix and Prime Video and YouTube and all that stuff, or you need a break, try the canyouactually.com site and you'll actually see, I have to use that word again, you'll learn some stuff and see and hear some stuff that you would never believe. Stay away, by the way, from the guy who's raising alligators and feeding them live chickens. You don't want to see that one. Anyway, Ronnie, I turn it over to you. Yeah, no, seriously. It's a big deal on the video right now. It's got like 10 million views or something. It's not appealing. Trust me. You don't want to see that. All right.
I think my favorite one was the one I saw where this little chihuahua was coming out of the store and it had a cart full of toilet paper and it said, "Yeah, I bit about three people, but I got my TP."
anybody knows about chihuahuas, they know that's the truth. All right, listen, we've got 2 minutes left. I want to summarize here. I just want everybody to have a good day. We'll talk a little bit more about Easter this evening. And tomorrow, by the way, we're going to have a special guest on the show to just help with thoughts about Easter and what's going on around the world in Italy. Rafa Calisi, the original founder of Salute Restaurant in Seattle, and his helping his son build a new beautiful Italian restaurant in Anacortes, Washington. He'll be on to give us some cooking tips. And this evening, we may also have Giuliano Clemente, who's a really incredible Italian chef who studied in Italy, to give us some ideas. Maybe we can talk about pasta night with him. Rondi, thank you so much for your input and your greatness on this show. And we're all wanting to hear some of your new music. So hopefully you can tell us when that will be available for the masses. I know it's available on your YouTube channel, Rhonda Ellis, but
yes.
Well, so I'm giving her a plug. Also, we want to talk about toothpaste in the next show. And Rhonda's got some really incredible news about some incredible toothpaste. All right. That's it for us. Rhonda, see you later. Tune in tonight at 9 p.m. For some special stuff, and we will have a great chef as our guest talking about food, which is what we like to talk about. All right. I hope we brought a little bit of joy and humor to your day so far. Adios.